Well, good morning. Are there any people in the house? Good morning. Well, it's such a privilege to be able to, for the very first time, able to preach live at Werribee Baptist Church. I know on the, thank you. I know the last time I preached, I was online and I had two in the building, Pastor Stan and Pastor Justin. And that was good because I get to sit down and just enjoy the message. Today being the first time, I'm going to have to take a seat again. If you don't mind, just excuse me. That would be so lovely. I know that some of you probably thinking to yourself, well, we didn't pay him and call him to come and sit down and be lazy and preach, just like, and not like Stan and Justin. Well, I tell you that we're different. Justin and Stan, they are Aussie and American, and they're white. I'm Tongan, I'm brown. And if you're watching online and you're Tongan, just type in there, yes, I agree, because we use coconut oil, they use baby oil. That's why we got good, fair skin. Justin and Stan, they are good looking, but I'm more handsome. Yeah? If you're online, just type agree or disagree if you like. One thing I know, these guys are fit and healthy. I'm not, that's why I'm sitting here. So I'm so happy, so good to be here. And if you're watching online, greeting, my name's Inoke, and I am the sitting down preacher for you this morning. We're going to continue the sermon series, The Road Sign. Signs, and we're going to look at today the giveaway signs. And before I launch into it, I just want to highlight and bring a statement. This is my New Year resolution statement. So if you like, you can agree with it and say it yourself, but I want to remind you at the end as well. This is, if you forget anything I say, just land it and remember this. When God providentially takes me on an unwanted journey this year, I should be alert to the signs that lead me to a place of glorifying God and rejoice in His presence. Are you with me? Road signs, giving way. Let me ask you, when was the last time you were driving or standing in a pedestrian crossing? And a car that was supposed to be giving way to you didn't stop, and then it kept going. How did you feel? Angry? Yeah. Did you say what I said? Did you say what I normally said? You know what I mean. What did you do? Did you actually wind the window down and put your hand out and you wave at them? Come on, let's be honest. Yes, he did something different. Wasn't it, Phil? Well, when was the last time you did the opposite? You happened to be on the road and you were rushing to work and you're late by 10 minutes. And you come to the roundabout and you realize you had to take a quick look across to your right and the other lane, and you realize there's about 10 cars, and you quickly do your mathematical calculation, and that will be about 10 minutes at least, and that's the 10 minutes that you needed. And you take a good last-minute decision that he's going to stop. That car, first car coming, is going to stop, so you decided to go. And then you ended up on the road, and you just turn the music up really high so that you don't listen to what the other car is doing and just beep the horn. Or perhaps you stop and argue. I did that once. It was so funny because this other car, and we were in that kind of situation. And then I pull out, and he also pulled out. And I walk outside, and I pull my shoulder being a Tongan. And so it's the other guy. And then when we immediately find out there, that we know each other, and he was a pastor in another church. That was classic. We cuddled, and that was really, really classic. So don't stop. Just a warning, do not stop, because you just don't know who's on the other side, yeah? Hey, let's be honest. We're a church. Who did just that on their way here this morning? Oh, there's one over there. I loved it. Everyone looked that way. Hey, let's just get around and pray and lay hands and did all of that. Road signs, keyway signs. There is something about it. We know that when we obey the road signs, it's great. But when we don't, we know the consequences and some of the impact that it has on our lives. We'll end up in car crash and cars damage, and we ended up getting a fine, and it's just emotionally draining. It's costly to some of the consequences. And they are some of the things that we experience when we don't obey the sign. And we know that every day, just like that, the road, when we're on the road and giving way, life is like that as well. We make decisions every day. And usually those decisions are associated with our daily routine, what we're going to eat and where we're going to go and where we're traveling and our work and lots of them that we go through, our career life, decisions that we, our relationship, and there's so much more that we make. And quite often when we do that, we're kind of very cautious in those decisions. We want to avoid taking any risk. And we're very cautious about it, and we are, we usually involve other people collaboratively, that we bring it together to the table so that we make sure that we don't take a bigger risk. And there are times that we do the opposite, just like when I come down to the roundabout, just make a quick decision, time's running up, it's time to go, and we rush into it. We didn't have time to sit down and really think it through before we go ahead and make that decision. And we just went on without even thinking about it. And we don't care about the risk and anything else that along comes with it. And the reality is we have plans and strategy and things like that are quite successful. We also have our dreams we're living out. And it's just so great that we experience all of that. But the opposite is also true. We have plan and vision and strategy and stuff like that and dreams that it just never happened. We have unsuccessful plan, and we all know that we experienced all of that in the last 2 years. And what often happens is that when we come, there's this kind of moment, we quickly just default to ask ourselves, and we often go to Google and say, hey, Google, what is wrong with me? And then we start looking for professional and expert, we start tapping into other people, our family and friends, and we start looking at ourselves, and when everything's not working well, then we start asking God. But it's funny because sometimes that's the kind of order. We put something in place and then we start with God and seek God, and then eventually as the plan is on its way and all the success, suddenly God is fading away a little bit. Then we start focusing. The center of our attention has been our success and everything go well until something happened. Then we ended up on our knees, and then we spend time all day and night just praying and crying, God. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever had that experience? As we stand at the beginning of this new year, we kind of wonder, should I plan or should I not plan? Should I just plan big and plan small? As you heard Diana expressed, it's so good that with this year, we just sit down and make plans. And it was so wonderful that our leadership lead the way. But what about you? Have you kind of wondered in the past experience, should we do that or not? But you see, for me, the problem is not that whether we plan or not plan, whether we dream big or dream small. I think the problem is that the planning becomes our greatest enemy. Living our dreams no longer our best friends. And just because things didn't work out last year, that I can't plan this year. Just because I wasn't able to celebrate the birthday of my children that I can't plan it this year. Just because things wasn't successful and didn't end, and ended up costly that I can't plan things because of the way things are at the moment. The point is that we could be running into the danger of shutting down God's plan for our lives. Yeah? We could end up taking control and shutting down what God, the opportunity that is there for us. You know, I come to be aware in the recent weeks that most of the Tongan church around in Melbourne, in fact, in Australia, leading up to Christmas and even after Christmas, most of them go online and just shut down their service and just go to, you know, just have church online on Zoom. And it's heartbreaking for me to know that they make some decision not to meet in person like we do today. But people start attending celebration and weddings and funerals and birthdays and anniversaries that I know of. And then when one, two, or three, a few family got COVID, then they start shutting down. Nothing happened in the place. Well, I speak from the Tongan community, so I'm pretty safe, and I can talk about that. Can you see my point here? Poor decisions, we can run into the danger of shutting down opportunity to be able to worship God as we do today. Well, at least that's my opinion. Why don't we turn to the Bible, and if there's anyone in the Bible that is qualified to talk about, you know, wise decision and strategic planning and living out their dream, is Solomon, King Solomon. And if any Christian or someone who's not a Christian yet, let me give you a quick introduction to Solomon. He was Solomon, was the third king of Israel, and following the leadership and the king of his father David. He was a very young man at the age of about 18 and 20, they think, and he just found himself in this position, and he was sleeping one night, and he had this dream that he was standing before God, and God was saying, "Hey, Solomon, if there's one thing you want to ask for, what would it be?" And for Solomon, he's got a big task ahead of him. He's got that kingdom to rule. He's going to make some serious judgment and decision making. He needs wisdom. He's just a young fella just come into the role. And so he said, "God, if there's one thing, I want wisdom." So God is in response. He said, "Solomon, I will grant you your request. I will give you wisdom, but then I'll give you more things that you did not ask for. You didn't ask for prosperity and wealth. You didn't ask for status, but I will give it to you anyway." Folks, don't take that as a way of asking God for wisdom and you get healthy and wealthy and rich and get a good status. That's not the point. And so Solomon had that wisdom, and we know from the story he was the wisest man, and you read his entire book of wisdom, all that he did. But here's the point. It would be very easy for Solomon to walk away. If that was me, "Thank you, Lord. I've got the wisdom, your wisdom, and I can do anything. I know all the solution. Therefore, God, thank you so much. It's so good that you grant me that wisdom. You can go and find someone else and then work with them and just go and do your mission. Don't worry about me. I can deal with this because I know it all." He did not say that. Solomon, in his writing, and we come into Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 with 3, you'll find that Solomon keep referring to God. So here in chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, it says this word: "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Once, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." Second time you refer back to God. "And commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will establish." Three times in the three verse. You know, since started ministry, I always wanted to be a good planner. I want to be a good pastor that planned quite well. I want to be a good father that can plan well, starting in ministry, even though it's challenging because being a Tongan myself, time is only a suggestion. You know, whatever happened tomorrow, leave it for tomorrow. We care about today and just celebrate today. So it's kind of hard for me, and it took me 18 years to be able to graduate from level 1 to level 2 out of level 5 in professional planning. But you know, I have a lot of dreams, and I have a lot of plans and strategic plan over those years, you know, you name it. You have your own story. But there are times when, you know, things have been challenging. And I had last year, it just happened to happen that I had this vision. And I had this plan to do something and seek God in this regard, this way. Studying at Sunbeam University part-time, doing some doctoral study there. And it just happened that two of my supervisors just left. Went to another uni, and for me, I had to do some discernment, and I thought, yeah, maybe it's time, it's a symbol that I need to look elsewhere, and I ended up applying to Monash, and I ring and talk to the registrar. It was such a warm conversation, explained my situation, and it was so good, and said, bring all these documents before I decide whether you should pursue on odd, and then I did all of that. With a lot of confidence, I told my friends, and I put all of them through. And I did that. And then she said, you should receive an email in 2 weeks. So the 2 weeks went past, and then coming to the third week, something just happened inside of me. I started to feel a little bit anxious that my dream to study at Monash, I always wanted to study at Monash, is almost like falling apart. Today's passage has a word for us. In verse 1, 2, and 3, chapter 16, just to give you a little background, the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters, and chapter 16 just happened to be right in the middle, starting in the second half of the book of Proverbs. And scholars think there's about 15% of that Proverbs where Solomon referred to God. But the real starting point of him talking about referring to God actually started in the second half. And right here in this passage that he was taking us through, that he referred to God, as I mentioned before. He mentioned Yahweh 3 times. And verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Here Solomon's referring to human strategy. You know, one of the reasons why Solomon wants us to see here the significance of the Lord is to somehow remind us of the sovereignty of our God. We needed to be reminded that our ways are not his ways. You know, our plans are not his plan. And God is above all, anything and everything that we do, anything that we can dream of. If I'm honest with you, in my story with Monash, I wasn't really necessarily waiting on God. I was waiting for Monash's call. I feel being rejected. You know, I decided to pick up the phone because I haven't heard from them and call. And I finally speak to the registrar, and she was on the phone, very nice person. He picked up the phone and she said, by the way, I just hang on a minute. I think I saw your name. It was a bit of a long pause. It's probably the longest pause I've ever experienced, the longest moment. And then she came back and said, you should receive an email soon. And I just couldn't wait. I said, would you mind telling me what is the outcome of the email? Please, please. I just wanted to know. I don't want to wait. And then she said, I regret to say that it's being disapproved. It's not successful. We're not going to put you through the application. I feel rejected. I feel devastated at that moment. My dreams to study Monash just seemed to be falling apart. you know, I think that my identity is not based on my academic achievement or if I go to Monash or not. And if I'm being honest with you, I've been waiting for years to go there. And this plan belongs to my heart, and God owes it to me. So I began to realize that my dream is in God's hand, and that is when I bitterly wept and cried, because I realized I'm not sure if I really wanted his plan or not. Have you ever experienced that? In fact, what I'm going to tell my friends, what am I going to tell them? They pray so hard. What am I tell them that I've been rejected? Doors being closed. Well, some do think that Proverbs 16:1 is some kind of admonition, an idea that puts down the human planning that we shouldn't be planning. But that's not exactly the point. The biblical witness is full of example. We know Joseph took him 7 years He planned for 7 years famine. We know Esther took a few months before she went to see the king. We also know that Nehemiah well planned, strategically planned to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. And there are stacks of examples of that we find in the Bible. The point is, it's not the futility of the planning and the outcome. Our planning has its limits. That's the point. God's response does not depend on our own planning. Verse 1, talking about our human strategy, building plans and setting goals. Verse 2, take us to another point. It's what the Bible calls self-deception. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. If there's a message that our popular culture is preaching today, it's the solution, is that the solution to our problem is ourself. Not outside of us, but inside of us. The scripture says the alternative. The scripture says in John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are not the answer to our problem. You know, it's very sad that many high-profile people just use them. It's easy to target them than just coming so individually to us. Many cannot face the reality and come out and admit their mistake, the choice that they made, that we're wrong. Sad that that has happened. You know, in my situation after being rejected by Monash, I've learned that facing disappointment has a way of making us aware of our true characters and identity. And God uses this moment to call into question some idols that are deeply within us in our lives. You know, I have not go and worship and bow an object or an animal or a tree of some kind and worship them, except when I was on my knees and asked my wife to marry me. I had a sore knees and I really got down deep. That was the only time I was down on my knees and asked her to marry me. But I never worshiped an idol. You know, but I come to realize in that experience in my story, there are things in my life that are idol. It's the academic achievement. It's the notion that I can solve my problem. It is that self-satisfaction. There are the bad motives that I come to recognize humbly, and I must admit, in my life. Verse 2 reminds us that God is our judge, and he will weigh our motives. He sees deeply inside. Let me ask you, what is your motivation for this year? Are we motivated to follow Jesus, or the cross is too hard because of whatever reason? What is driving our motivation? Verse 1 is about our human strategy. Verse 2, Solomon reminds us of the self-deception that is destruction in our lives. And verse 3 is about the solution to our issues. And fundamentally, it's about yielding and surrendering and submission to God. Verse 3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Here's the solution. The Hebrew word commit literally means to roll over or to surrender. We see every road has a destination. Any road you come has a destination, has a stopping point. But here's the part that is seemed to be counterintuitive when you think about that verse. Think about direction. Think about our planning. Direction doesn't begin with a search for direction. If you want to make a wise choice, you don't start by going to Google, and don't start by looking at self-help books, and you don't start by going to the right website, and you don't start by getting the right best good idea. Often that is helpful. You don't start with that, gathering the right information. Direction begins with submission. James chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, particularly in the early part of verse 7, he said this, submit yourself then to God. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts to you, double-minded. Submissions precede direction. We need to do the hard work. We need to do the first thing is that before we start planning, we need to start submit ourselves to God. As you stand at the beginning of this new year and you start thinking ahead to the unknown, we need to surrender and to yield to God. Yield to God. You see, God, I don't know the direction this year. With COVID, the way things are happening, I really don't know which path and choices to take this year. But you know what? I'm just going to lay it at your feet. I just leave it with you, God, until you tell me which way and path I should take. Then I will make a move. It means learning, leaning our relationship. It means leaning and surrendering our family, our career, our education, our social life, our ministry, our calling, our planning in God's hand. And here's the warning. Don't wait until you make three mistakes before you come to God. I think this is why Solomon is reminding us how important to start with the things that is most important, because whatever happening after makes sense. And that's what we're going to learn today. How many times you come to a point where you try everything and when everything doesn't work and say, oh, let me just go to God. Because nothing works. Have you had that experience? Now it's simply going to God first. And it is an intentional sort of commitment of our hearts and our minds to God. It's saying, I'm going to commit myself to God this year, daily before I get out of bed, before I get into my car. I commit myself to God before I walk into the office. I commit myself to God before I sit down in a meeting. I commit myself to God before I do all of that. And that is the part of the purpose of prayer. It helps us how we might fully honoring God and rejoicing in His presence no matter what the outcome. Daily prayers becomes a means of daily surrender. Someone said that prayer is important because it signals our acceptance of incompleteness, our desire to see from God what we cannot supply ourselves. You see, the small events of daily experience provide me with confidence and possibility of asking God to help me in the solution that I'm looking for and persist on a much larger scale in life. Prayer is the process by which we grow. We grow in our godliness, living. We grow in confidence. We grow in a process where we stand to the side and let God be God and drive the journey. Prayer is the school of self-forgetfulness, of getting out of the way and let God be in control. Prayer is a spiritual and practical discipline. You develop endurance over time. It just doesn't come overnight. It takes time to build endurance. And prayer is like that. Prayer is fundamentally is about surrender. It's about coming to terms with our own self-deception and the weakness and the idol in our lives. It's placing our strategy in the hands of the Lord and waiting on Him to give us the answer. You see, tough times such as now has a way of schooling us in the importance of prayer. Let me just finish with the rest of my story at Monash. Just after a long morning of prayer, discernment, when I got the news from Monash, I rang my mentor. We had a talk, and he reminded me again, were you waiting on Monash, or did you really wait on God? He reminded me that again. And then out of conversation, he said, ring this person here at Melbourne Uni. I said, what? If it's harder to get to Monash, how much more? How can you get into it? Well, he gave me this person's name, and I ended up with three names. Two came back and said, we don't have the capacity. I don't think we can supervise. But one of them came back, and she wrote, I am desperate, and I'm keen and interested in your topic. In fact, what do you... Your research areas somehow align with what I'm doing, and I'm so happy to work with you. Whew. Well, it's 3-4 weeks, including Christmas, and I tell you what, I haven't received the outcome, but here's the difference. They allow me to put the applications through, I submit everything, but here's the difference. I'm not going to ring and follow up and pick up the phone and say, hey, it's been 5 weeks now and 6 weeks. I'm happy to leave it in God's hand because I'm waiting on God. That if I get through, praise God, amen. And if I don't, it's God that determines. Remember he said in verse 3, submit, surrender your work, not your plan. He says, commit your work to the Lord, and He will establish the plan. The plan will be established. Folks, it is our work that we know that we do for God. They're the one that we need to submit before God. Our plan is in His hand. We have every right to plan. We have every right to take the risk, and it's really not a risk. It's God that determines which plan will happen. We just don't want to miss the opportunity or shut down God's plan for our life. Amen? We just don't want to do that. That's not what we do. Hey, I want to close by giving you two practical applications. I mentioned before that it's about discipline. And we need to discipline ourselves. I want to put us all on a challenge, 21 days challenge. I know you have your own, have your own New Year resolution. But I want to put us all in a 21 days, 3 weeks from tomorrow, a challenge. And the first thing that I want us all to do is I want us to pray daily. If you can, that would be great. If you miss one, that would be okay. If you're living on your own, commit to pray daily. Do whatever you feel like that gets you to the discipline of praying daily. And folks, it's not just pray for the sake of prayer. Get down deeply and really humble yourself at His feet. Commit yourself to it. If you are with your family, why don't you bring your family around if you can and just pray with them. Don't just pray over the food. Just start to teach your children. Hey, imagine one day your kids will look back and say, I remember my mom and my dad. We did this. We spent time in prayer. We were singing while we were praying. We did this. And that means a lot for me. you know, do whatever, whether you're sharing communion around the table, whether you're listening to song and just praying, or just rest in God's presence with your family, loved one, for the next 21 days. And if you want to go deeper than that, and you know, this is really important for you, if you want to deal with fear, if you want to deal with anything that is those idol that you surrender your life to, like the tongue, and they surrender to fear. And I'm not saying it's not a bad thing to worry about COVID, but hey, that's God's control, not ours. Spend time with family, pray, and learn to grow. Second thing is, we want to invite you the next free Wednesday. We're going to have a prayer care gathering here at church from 7 to 9 p.m. And I invite you to come along if you can. Children Ministry Center, room 1, will be open from 7 to 9. We're going to have some different station, prayer station for you to come in and pray and spend time. And whatever it is, the creative way that you can express and connect with God. You know, whether it is just sitting and just listening to music and reading scripture on the screen and just wait on God. Maybe for some of you, it's just getting a scripture and sit down and do what the tradition of Lectio Divina is doing. You just go over one verse at a time until God speaks to you. I visited someone this week and I was so blessed. He said, "This is my Bible. This is what I do." Quite often, most of the time, I just dwell on one word until I hear from God. Maybe that's all you need to do. There's an opportunity to participate in the communion. There's someone so close to your heart you want to pray for. There's a candle there for you to light. And if you want to pray for someone, I'll be there. Come and pray. There's an opportunity there. Let me just remind you, it's not a prayer service. It is not a worship service. There's no verbal communication. There's no one like what we do here and say, "Welcome, come in," because the Lord's going to be there ready to welcome you. If you like, drop by and just spend, come whenever you can from 7 to 9 the next free Wednesday. If it is just 10 minutes, let it be, then you go. If it's 20 or 30 or more, you come and enjoy the experience as long as you can. And when you're ready, leave the place. Folks, this year, it's maybe the year that we need to get down on our knees. COVID has controlled our lives. As Pastor Dan and Stan said, we need to take back the control that God gives each and all of us. We are taking control of who we need to surrender our lives. Not to Dan, Andrew, and the others. Not the scientists, the greatest wisdom and the greatest resources that we know of. It's Him that we need to surrender. And we all have the power of control to make that choice this year. Amen. Would you stand as I pray? And then we're going to sing, "I Surrender." Let me just remind you once again of my New Year resolution to finish off. When God providentially takes me on an unwanted journey and interrupt that situation this year, I should be alert to the sign that lead me to a place where I can really experience worshiping God, glorifying His name, and rejoicing in His presence. Loving God, God, we stand on our feet. We are at home. If you are sitting down, why don't you stand to your feet and join me? We humble ourselves, God, as people that we admit that we often run ahead of you and make our own decision without resting and come before you and submit before we make plans. We pray, God, for anything, any selfish, deceptive, idle thing in our life. Lord, we want to surrender that to you. We pray, God, that you help us to grow in our discipline of prayer and what it means to yield to you and surrender our lives to you daily. A way of honoring you and rejoicing in your presence. So we pray, God, as we humble ourselves this year, we start this year with that attitude that the joy of the Lord will become our strength, and the things that we can plan, we do it with great hope and great joy. that you will establish what needs to be established. And things that are not meant to be established, we rejoice and know that you are in control and not ourselves. So Father God, here we are. We surrender to you, Jesus. May you continue to be the Lordship of our lives, the decision maker that help us with the solution we're looking for. Thank you that you are, Jesus, the answer to our life situation. And we want to surrender our lives to you.